Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. And again, tonight will be the last message in this series, or the points on God's will, knowing God's will, the general will of God for us. And as you've heard each week for the last 4 weeks, 5 weeks, you can't expect God to give you your individual personal will of God when you will not surrender yourself to the general will of God for all believers. Yeah, you're asking God to bypass, you know, it's like, as we say each time, God's more concerned with your obedience than he is with your happiness. Because if the obedience is there, the peace will be there. Okay, and I want you to remember as we look at this things about God's will, and tonight we'll start where we've started each week in this. And I'm finishing up just before the Spurgeons. I thought it was interesting that, again, we just had who speak on Sunday? Okay, you had Brother Bill, Dr. Bill Grady. Did you notice he mentioned something about the attitude of thankfulness? That's what we'll be looking at tonight. But in Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 3, and it says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness." And then what does it say? "Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." And I could continue on, but we're going to stop there at that point. And it says, "Giving thanks unto the Father." Okay, and I want you to know, we are told here that there is a will of God for us. And we looked at the first week, we looked at 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18, where it tells us to be not unequally yoked together. That is God's will for all believers. Okay? Then I'll go quickly. We find in Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6, we looked at verse 5. It's God's will for you to be accepted in the Beloved, and that's something for you to go forward with victory in your life. You need to know that there is a God who loves you with an everlasting love. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, and you are always accepted by him. "I am sick and tired of performance Christianity." Okay? We love him because he first loved us. You're accepted in the Beloved. If you feel like you don't belong, then you're listening to the wrong spirit. If you're saved, you are his and he is yours. We looked at again also knowing that it's God's will that we should be in submission, submitting to his will. Okay, and we looked at Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 6 talking about obeying God from the heart. It's always a heart attitude. It's a heart attitude. We looked at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 8. Verse 3, it says, "Abstaining from fornication and possessing your vessel," how we ought to live before God. And tonight we're going to look at, and I want you to, at one verse, okay? And that is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. It is God's will for every believer to live in this light. And in this attitude, in what? "Everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." When you don't understand, okay, Many times you've heard me say it. Pastor Kinney has said it. I've got to say it a little differently tonight, but I normally say God is always good and God is always right. Okay? Well, Uriah told me God is always good and God is always fair. He came in the office to make sure I knew that, and that's what I needed to say tonight, all right? So God is always good and God is always fair. You know, the world, you aren't going to find fairness. But if God is always good and he's always right, he will always do what it is right and best for you. So tonight I want you to realize that. I spent time this afternoon. I went through my concordance, Strong's Exophysis Concordance. I counted 135 times where a form of the word thank, okay, or thanked, or thankful, or thankfulness, or thanking, or thanks, or thanksgiving, or thankworthy is found in the Scriptures. It's 135 times. You think God says a lot about thankfulness? Only five of them weren't towards God. 130 times there's verses that talks about thanks or thanksgiving, being thankful to your heavenly Father. Okay, they offered the sacrifice of thanksgiving so many times. I just find that interesting. I look at that, you know, and the one of the times that it's not towards God, it's saying, talking about a man being thankworthy in relationship to suffering. This is thankworthy. Suffering for Jesus Christ. Okay? So I want you to understand that. You know, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This last point that we're looking at as far as God's will for the general will change, and it shows how you view your God and how you view yourself. How you view God and how you view yourself. I want you to turn to Psalm 34. We're going to go through a few verses. I hope this isn't as much as you've looked in your Bible this week. My wife always tells me, honey, be nice. And I go, I try. Doesn't always work. Okay. Psalm 34. Are you ready? Verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. When you're thanking God before other people, you're pointing them to looking for God working in their lives because he's worked in yours. Can continue reading. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. He sought the Lord, he thanked him, they looked to him. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And I thought you were going to preach on thankfulness. I am, but you need to know, as the Scriptures show us, who it should be directed towards and why. We do not have a God like the other false gods worshipped in this world. Five times to India. 3,300,000 plus different deities or gods that they worship, and they all require. And sometimes they cost. We have a God who gives. You can't earn it with him. You can accept it with him. Turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Then I'll start getting into things, okay? Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with what? And into his courts with praise. be thankful unto him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. The Lord is always good. And the Lord is always fair. Right, Uriah? He's shaking his head, yes. Always good. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. When people want to judge other people, you know what they'll tell you? They'll tell you the overriding trait of God's personality is his holiness. And I've told you before, that's not what God told Moses. He said that when Moses came before him, and when he had to get the second set of the Ten Commandments, and he said, the Lord God. And the first word he used was merciful. The first thing he wanted Moses to know was that he was merciful. I don't know about you, but that means a lot to me, because I need his mercy every day in my life. And it says, his truth endureth to all generations. Because of who our God is and how he is towards us, we ought to be thankful. How you live your life and the peace and the joy that you can have in your life is conditioned on your attitude about that. Do you realize that? Don't have the attitude in your Christianity of the self-righteous Pharisee. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, this is Jesus, he's teaching in a parable. And he says in verse 9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted what? In themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee. Even this is directed towards God. He says, I thank you that I am not as other men are. He thanks God and then goes through a self-righteous litany, doesn't he? That I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican stood standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be what? Merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, who? The second one. The one who came to God in humility seeking mercy. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be what? Abased. He's going to be brought low. And he that humble himself shall be exalted. That attitude of the self-righteous Pharisee can keep a person from truly humbling themselves and being truly thankful to the one where all blessings come from. Some of you are going through some things. You know what? Everyone goes through stuff. Okay? God, most of the time, will not deliver you from it. He will deliver you through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The fourth man in the fire. The one who closed the mouth of the lions. The one who brought Paul through a shipwreck. Through the bite of a poisonous snake. Over and over and over again, I can show you these things in the scriptures and make you think about it. We need to be thankful to the one where the blessings come from. If a husband is thankful for the wife that God gave him, he's going to look at her differently. Are you thankful for the wife God gave you? If the wife looks at her husband as the one God gave her, she's going to look at him differently. Are you thankful for the husband God gave you? If you didn't get one from God, who chose him? Just think about that a little bit, okay? Because I don't want people blaming God because of God's allowing us to have free will. Amen? Okay. I want you to see the attitude in the verses we're looking at. You ready? Ephesians chapter 5. I've learned a long time ago that I need sometimes to thank God for the things he took from me. Amen? From the people he took from me, from the things he took from me. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in what? As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather, what? Giving of thanks. He's talking about the heart attitude. Thing it's been said before, it's living your life in Jesus Christ with an attitude of gratitude. But rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. I'm not preaching on that fifth verse, but I want you to understand, it's talking about, when you look at that thing, a whoremonger, unclean person, covetous, or who is idolater, you know what he's looking for? He's looking at the stuff he doesn't have that he wants. He's looking for the person that he doesn't have that he wants. He's looking to satisfy the flesh and doesn't thank God for what God has provided for him. Right? It's an attitude. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not what? Unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay, you know the reason people get drunk with wine? They're trying to bury what they're going through. It starts that way, and then the alcohol becomes their issue. Used to be in the little town I grew up in, Fairhaven, they had their one, it was Frank's Liquor Store, I think it was. I can't remember for sure. Maybe Howie remembers. He used to go, no. I'm teasing him. He never went out, but he grew up, we both had our first houses in Fairhaven, all right? And there was this liquor store. And on the outside of it, it said wine and, gee, I wonder why it's that. Looking for something to fulfill something where you need to look to Christ to fill it. Do you know there's many a saved person who, when they won't be thankful to God for what they do have or what he's allowed them to come through, turn to that still? A Christian can do anything that a lost person does. They're capable of it. Just take your eyes off the one and don't have the attitude you need to have. You start thinking you need something or someone more. It's an attitude. Be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. See, isn't that dealing with a heart attitude? And what does it tell you to do once you've done that? Giving thanks how long? For what? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I didn't write this book, but I can tell you that if you have that attitude of thanksgiving in all things, you will be pleasing to God in your choices. And when you don't, and you're looking at what you don't have, or you're looking at who you don't have, or you're looking at what's wrong in your life, you will always dwell on yourself. For thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. See, we have got to have the right attitude. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is hard sometimes to give thanks, isn't it? Our flesh wells up in us. We can get caught in so many things, but you know what a heart of thanksgiving will do? It'll help take away the anxiousness. I spent time in counseling with people this week in my office, and I'm trying to get them to understand, to appreciate what they have, not what they don't have. Amen? Go to Colossians chapter 2. Giving thanks always for all things. Wow. I was having a conversation with one of my sisters. I was telling her about my nephew. I don't believe his wife is saved. I don't know if his children are saved. I don't know with them. Witness to him. Haven't heard a clear cut. I've heard a clear cut testimony of salvation from him. Prognosis is not very good. I'm talking to my sister Lib, who got saved just a couple of years ago, led to the Lord by my daughter. Wouldn't hear it from me. Heard it from my daughter. Heather could reach her in a way I couldn't. And I said, Lib, I need you to pray. And I told her what was going on. She said, she's going to call the wife. And she goes, Bryant, she says, that makes 12 people in our family with cancer. I got one sister. She died early with cancer. Judy and I have been told we have cancer in our bodies. We've been treating it naturally. You know the story of my daughter. My sisters, 6 sisters, 5 of them with cancer. My brother, 2 types of cancer. The diagnosis of that cancer has made some of their hearts open to hear about Jesus. You know what I can thank God for? Because the eternal life's much more important than the temporal life. See, it's a matter of attitude, isn't it? Colossians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul says, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church at Colossae, in verse 5, he says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so what? Walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with what? Abounding with thanksgiving. Abounding with thanksgiving. That attitude will change in how you approach people. I go to the street corner. I try to be faithful, go as many times as I can. That's one thing I can do. I'm loud. You all know that. Anybody who's gone to the corners know I'm loud. Okay? I can be heard above the traffic. In all the years I'm going, I've only got a chance to lead a few people to the Lord. And I'll have people who come by me when I'm not preaching, and I'm trying to smile, and they turn around and I say, would you take this, please? I'd like to give you something. This will change your life. No, thank you. And I look at them, and I feel like, oh. And they go across the street, and James leads them to the Lord. I don't hate him. It frustrates me. I want some souls. Okay, but they walk across. James is there. He has an attitude of thanksgiving. He knows what God saved him from. He knows what God has saved him through. And he turns around. He has a way of reaching people. Okay? And he's not looking at them. Now, he may preach hard when he's preaching, but when they're talking to him individually, you know what I notice? He's approaching them, and some have compassion, making the difference. And I watch him. I think he could probably make money selling cars, right? Because he's there. You know you're lost, don't you? You know you're not saved. You don't want to go to hell, do you? You don't want, God didn't want you to go there. God doesn't want you to go there. Do you? You don't want to go there, do you? And then goes in and he opens the door and he starts talking. Because of the attitude of his heart as he approaches them. Now the Holy Spirit's doing the work. But you know what people don't want? They don't want? They come to you on the corner and you go, if you don't get saved, you're going to burn in the devil's hell. You know that, don't you? Now, if somebody's a jerk and they reject you all the time, torch them. Okay? And some have compassion, making the difference. Others hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Okay, sometimes they don't want to hear it one way. And some save through fear. Right? He doesn't soft soak it. He tells them, you're a sinner. And God's word says you know. God's word says you deserve hell. It's judgment for your sin. A righteous God is going to judge righteously, isn't he? So I get to hear it. Okay? I have very good ears. All right? And I turn around. And I'm not trying to hold him up on a pedestal, but I want you to understand something. His attitude where his heart is when he approaches them makes it easier for the Holy Spirit to what? Speak to them. Colossians chapter 2. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. It's an attitude. Just one more verse. One more verse. There's 130 of them, okay? See, so I'm being kind to you. Ask Howard. Ask John at the beginning of this church when I was the assistant pastor and I got to preach on something. I wanted to make sure they got it all. Right, Howard? They got it all, okay? So I'm being nice with that. I want God to make the point for you. Colossians chapter 3. You ready? One simple verse in closing. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, so whatsoever you do in your speech, your word, or whatever you do in deed, your actions. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of what? Doing what? Giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And all God's people said, amen. Good night and God bless.